Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
So how good is Contact? It's good, isn't it?
I told you I wasn't going to watch it yesterday because yesterday was my sister's actual birthday. So today, I will watch it. Today, as we record on the Tuesday, so I'll have it ready for you. A review by tomorrow, okay?
Okay, so we'll do Riddle Me Thursday and review of Contact Thursday as well.
Yes, great. Okay,
okay, fine.
Hang on, let me just...
pop it in your diary. First thing to go in the diary since March.
Guys, we have to watch Contact today or Tom will kill me.
Yeah. Great.
I've put it on the WhatsApp group now, so the whole group in the house has got it. We have to sit down and watch it. Because we're a very communal sort of household here. I don't feel like I want to just take myself off and watch a film on my own for 2.5 hours.
You should watch it together. Isn't? But I'd be interested to hear what Cornelius and your sister's feedback is as well.
Well, Cornelius's initial response when we said we were going to watch...
Was it something deadpan and dry by any chance?
His response was, oh, I don't really like films.
So, all right, Michael Owen.
That's what I'm dealing with Cornelius.
Right. Okay, we'll try to just tell him. Tell him that it's a boxed set. By the way, we've had some contact on that, talking of boxed set.
Some contact?
Tell him it is a boxed set, and it just, and then what you can do is just pause it and then say, oh, should we watch another?
Five of our episodes, yeah.
Yeah, should we watch another episode? Yeah, all right. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So fool him into it, basically.
Well, that means I have to keep an eye out for a good potential cliffhanger or, like, plot moment where it could be the end of an episode, yeah.
There's so many. Oh, I'm so jealous that you've not watched it. Hello to Paul, by the way. Paul's tweeted us. Dull tweet of the day. But Tom is right. It should be boxed set, not box set. It's a set of things that has been boxed, not a set of boxes. Thank you, Paul. You're absolutely right, and so am I. That makes two people who are right in the world. There you go.
So we're going to watch Contact today. That's fine. I will let you know my review. The first film segment, I think, on Cabin Fever. We've not done film reviews of any sort yet.
Great. Really, have we? Be like a sort of commode and mayo. And yes, who's who in this? Shall I be the slightly sort of... He's quite brief, isn't he, Simon Mayo? He's quite efficient with his words. He's very efficient
in, out, yeah. But he hands over to... Well, I guess I need to be the Kermode in the sense that I'm going to be the one watching the film.
You need to be the Kermode, yeah. Okay, good.
But that
good.
Requires a lot of brain power to be Mark Kermode.
His brain's... It is... I'm trying to think of a good word. Big. It is big, isn't it?
His brain is good.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great word, yeah.
It is the good.
It's really big, isn't it?
Yeah. Good. It's good, big brain.
Yeah. We seem to have turned into a Dan Brown novel.
I will take the revenue.
And it's a massive improvement.
Guess what I made yesterday?
You made a cat out of hair from your beard and your dog's beard. You made a cat from the hair from your beard and your dog.
You okay there?
Yeah, that's my guess. Okay? No, I'm not okay. It's fine.
This is like we've gone from Dan Brown novel to just like sort of bizarre children's surrealist book.
That's what happens in my brain. I visit every shelf in the bookshop. What did you make yesterday?
Made a vegan cheesecake, mate.
Shit off.
You're absolutely welcome.
Wow.
Only reporting this because it's one of the only things I've done all week. You know, it's one of those, this is the thing about lockdown, isn't it?
Yeah, but if we're reporting back on things we've made, I mean, I've done absolutely, what did I do? Yeah, do you know what I did yesterday? Do you know what I made yesterday?
What?
Both my children cry at the same time.
Oh, excellent.
That's my achievement.
Really good. What was it about?
I took both their screens off them. I took the Switch off Wilfred and took the iPad off the other one at the same time.
Because they were being turds. Why? What did they do?
They were being turds. They were whining and crying and... So I took the screens off them. And they both just screamed and I walked away. I nearly took a picture, actually. I've got a thing. I do enjoy taking pictures of my kids crying. It's like a thing I do. Only over small things. It's not like, you know, they fall over and really hurt their leg. And I'm like, hey, smile. Hey, you know, I'll just frame this
one
up.
We'll call the ambulance in a minute.
Yeah, exactly,
just,
yeah.
Just pose for the photo.
I'm using portrait mode. You need to be really still. No, it's not like that. But when they're crying over ridiculous things and being arseholes, I do take pictures of them. So I've got a catalogue of those. Anyway, I'd like to know about the cheesecake, please. What flavours were on offer?
It was, Tom, a Biscoff cheesecake.
Oh, Biscoff is amazing.
Biscoff is amazing. And vegan. So my sister's a vegan. It was my sister's birthday, blah, 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 blah. This is the context of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had the usual, like, basic carnivorous attitudes to vegan cheesecake. That's going to taste like absolute dog shit.
Do I look like Linda McCartney? That sort of uncle at a wedding. Like, oh, you're not having the steak? Yeah, of course.
And of course, like this is still like a 10-year journey for me, in the sense that for the last 10 years, my brain does that, the immediate thing,
yes.
And then I go, oh no, it tastes like see above with the Marks and Spencer's vegan chicken nuggets, literally the same.
Yeah.
And this vegan cheesecake, even when I was making it, I was tasting it, I was going, it's not going to be quite right. Anyway, it's absolutely delightful, obviously, and obviously, like, it's not healthy, but it's definitely much less shit in it. Like, we were using nuts and stuff rather than loads and loads of sugar. I mean, there's loads of sugar in it, mate. I won't lie to you.
That is the thing. Whenever you make a cake or biscuits, I often make Rocky Roads at Christmas. I do a Nigella Lawson Rocky Road recipe. And we actually, we had it with the fudge, see above. And it was just the amount of sugar that goes in. You're like, holy crap. These are sort of meatballs crossed with hand grenades that I'm feeding myself here. This is
going on inside my body at this moment.
I know, and that's the thing. So how did you feel afterwards? Did you have so much that you were physically
well? The problem
sick?
Is yesterday. So all I ate yesterday and was we had a takeaway curry for my sister's birthday and this cheesecake, and that's literally all I ate for the whole day.
Ooh, curry,
which makes it sound like what, you only had one meal? No, I had like 3 to 5 meals worth of those things,
right?
And then honestly, when I just lay on my bed and it was oh my god, it was disgustingly unattractive, I'd say.
What, just pogged, fully pogged? Beth describes it as a food baby. It's like you're just getting ready to give, but it's basically a shit. But
like I sort of lay on my bed in the way that I might have done if I'd just run half a marathon, you know, like this, like exhausted but from eating shit. And but god, I wouldn't change it for the world, mate. What
absolutely
a bloody great day. So let me take you through what's in the cheesecake, shall I?
So I'm just imagining, if it was a half marathon, if you could get sponsored for doing it, do you think we could do some sort of thing online?
What, sponsored greed?
GoFundMe, yeah, sponsored greed. Yeah,
sign me bloody up, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to eat a cheesecake and a curry and nothing else in a day, and I'm going to end up rolling around on my bed in digestive agony. Give us a quid.
Absolutely thrilled. Yeah, done, sold. Absolutely sold all the way.
Like an obese Captain Tom. Sorry, yeah, go on, you were saying.
Oh yeah, I'm just going to take you through what was in the cheesecake, because it was a delight and really easy to make, and actually, you know, if we're going to become a cookery show.
I think we should, about time we became a show, to be honest. But
I was
going
to say, it's not cooking, it's baking, and it's not even baking because there wasn't even a bloody oven required. That's how easy it was, mate.
All right, go on then.
In the base, just the Biscoff biscuits, you know, the Lotus biscuits.
All about that base, yeah, good.
Crumble them up and mix them up with some melted butter, brackets dairy-free, obviously, a bit of coconut oil. Done, there's your base. Yeah. Pat that down into a little thing, and then just chuck on the cheesy bit, which is, so here's the thing, you have to soak some cashew nuts overnight.
Right. What in?
Water, just soak them in water, and then they're beautifully soft and ready to be blended, because they're going to get blended.
Okay.
Then you just chuck some coconut cream in, some of the Biscoff spread, that's the key. Oh my god,
Biscoff spread. So that's like Nutella, but like for heroin addicts.
Yeah.
That's weaponized Nutella.
But there's only 3 tablespoons of that in the entire cake. And
yeah,
you know,
stick a
like,
fourth in? Didn't you? When you're doing that, when you're like, this stuff's too good to only do 3 tablespoons.
Well, no, I'm not going to waste the extra tablespoons on the cake, mate. I just ate it out of the jar after that.
Solid logic. Okay, yeah.
And then a little bit of vanilla essence and a bit more coconut oil. That's it. Put that in a blender and literally plonk that on top of the base, chuck it in the freezer, Bob's your uncle, done. Oh my god, it tasted like, then you can decorate it in whatever way you like, and I opted to decorate it like a 4-year-old, because I'm not so good at that.
Have you finished then? Is it all gone? Is it all done?
It's nearly all gone, yeah. It will be all gone by the time this podcast goes out, certainly.
Are you slightly nervous that that Cornelius and your sister are currently raiding the fridge while you're waffling to me? That must be quite upsetting. That makes me want to just go on for as long as possible and start talking to you, Dave, about some of my favourite rounds of golf that I've had over the last few years. And you have to stay and listen, because it's part of the remit of the job.
Well, here's the thing, Tom, and this is going to be a continuity nightmare.
Go on.
But I've already had some cheesecake for breakfast.
What do you mean? You had cheesecake for breakfast?
I had cheesecake for breakfast. Oh, and do you know the reason this is going to be a continuity nightmare? And this is the most meta... We're playing with form here, Tom. We're experimenting. We're properly mixing up the art form. Because our guests today, the wonderful Justin Edwards off of the telly and the wonderful Lucy Porter off of the telly,
yeah,
are going to be on in just a couple of minutes. Mm. But we've already recorded it.
Don't tell them that, Dave. Don't give that away, Dave. You're breaking time. Are you going to love Contact, by the way? Yeah,
do you know what's going to happen, though? About midway through that, I'm going to say to you and Justin, while Lucy's answering the door, guys, don't want to boast, but guess what I had for breakfast today? And for because the something happened and the conversation just moved on, we never get the answer to that question.
Whoa! This is so... You're right, this is meta.
God, that's exciting.
Oh, that's good. Well, in that case, that's a nice little thing for people to look forward to. Should we get on with the interview with the wonderful Justin Edwards and Lucy Porter?
God, my adrenaline's pumping now, Tom. We are absolutely messing it with stuff.
That's not adrenaline, Dave.
Oh, no, hang on, wait, I've pissed myself.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty Questions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So, Dave, we've got guests. So can you sort yourself out,
plural?
Please? Yeah, guests, plural.
Holy moly, what a Wednesday.
We're so well-dressed. Normally we'd be doing this in our pants. Or not pants, as discussed on previous episodes of Cabin Fever. Dave Cribb, not a man who wears pants during lockdown. Lucy Porter and Justin Edwards, welcome on that bombshell.
Both with pants.
I don't know if I'm going to stay now.
No, I know.
Well, I've got too much pant. I mean, I've got a bigger pant than I need. I could send some around today.
Have you got some spare pants? Dave, do you want spare pants? We could bike it over.
You do realise that offering to sell other men your underwear on the internet, there's already a kind of market for that. And I'm not sure that that's a very strong start, isn't it? Anyway, my wife's going to sell you her underwear. Maybe we'll leave it there. Lovely to speak to you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. Plenty Questions out now on Great Big Girl. I actually wonder what would happen if I tried to sell my underwear online in a sexual context. Do you think anyone... How much would I get?
I think the market is predominantly ladies selling it. I don't think men's pants have got such a kind of cachet to them.
Unless I needed a chamois, you know, something to buff up the car and I was really stuck.
My mum used to cut my dad's pants up and we'd use them for like shoe cleaning purposes. I mean, they'd be cleaned before this happened, but old pairs would be cut up and sort of repurposed into sort of ad hoc dusters and...
She was wonderfully thrifty, your mum, wasn't she?
Well, she was.
Absolute... skinflint.
my brother's mother-in-law. Yeah. So that's She used to. My sister-in-law remembers her boiling her father's pants up on the stove. She used to boil wash her father's pants in a really big saucepan on the hob, like a huge sort of stew just going.
Oh.
I'm asked to ask her about that. I'm not sure I haven't made that memory up, but I'm pretty sure.
But hang on, why? In order just to completely clean them, to give them a really deep clean?
Well, just to really, really, really get through them. And this was the 70s. Men had a lot more going on in their pants. It was a busier time.
This is why I don't wear pants.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, no. If you're a hard-working executive in the 70s, you really gave your pants a thrashing, so you needed to be boiled out every weekend. That's my
bang them out with a chair leg first, oh, yeah, and then stick them on a
try and get the stains out with a leg of something. Yeah, and then
I've always thought that about the 70s, because obviously our generation look at pictures of our parents, apart from you, Dave, because you're ridiculously young, and it's all in the 70s and before. And I look at the 70s and think, God, in terms of smelliest decades, the 70s has got to be right up there, hasn't it?
Yeah, man-made fibres and disco dancing.
Disco, I mean, running around. There were no such thing as deodorant. Everybody smoked all the time.
Yeah,
And just stank of Chianti.
Well, we needed to smoke. I mean, that was the only thing that kept the stench.
Well, when I was a student, I don't think I ever washed any of my clothes either, but everyone smoked, so it was fine.
Yeah, just everything just smelled a bit of fags. Oh, it was so good. What a great
These young, healthy kids, they've got no idea what it's like not to stink.
Well, but then often when there's a guy in the Great Big Owl office, Mark Haynes, off of...
Oh, he stinks.
Absolutely reeks. He smokes a wide variety of different vapes, doesn't he, Dave? To the point where we, office banter-wise, call him Glade. It's absolutely hilarious in our office.
Oh, dear. All the bants.
Oh, hang on. I've just got to go and get the door. Is that allowed?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry, there's someone at the door. It's probably...
That sounded like a sound effect door.
I think it might be the courier coming to collect this week's delivery of knickers that the wife sent. Sending off around the world. I thought the bank account would look all right, actually, considering not being at work. But yeah, it's got a little something.
We've all got to earn in lockdown.
While she's not here, you can ask me anything you want.
Okay, what favourite colour does she... No, let's not. Yeah. What were we talking about just now? The vape thing. Because he does, Dave, doesn't he? He has a wide variety of different vapes. He'd get like grape and things.
Yeah, I'd say our day sort of is up and down depending on the flavour of vape he chooses. And I sit right next to him as well, so it's really infused into my nostrils.
Does he not start with a sort of, you know, a breakfast vape of eggs and then sort of move on to a lighter sort of, you know, a brunch vape?
Well, this is what's just changing during lockdown as well, because I don't want to boast to you guys, but I've had what I've had for breakfast this morning?
Oh, no, fags.
Sorry.
It's all right. What was it, Lucy? Is everything all right?
I don't know what you've got, but I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, it's just the delivery. Oh, I wonder what that could be.
Well, come on, let's have some live opening on the show.
Unbox it. It's a track package. God, I hope it isn't someone else's knickers. This is really...
he gets packages exciting. Arriving every day, and every he takes himself up to the bedroom and opens them, and I never know what's in.
Here we go.
This is from China. Gosh, oh, wow. Made in China, decals and stickers. If this has come all the way from... This is amazing. Tracked, no signature, so that's... I think I know what this is, and I'm amazed it's got here this quickly. It's very exciting. It's a cardboard package now, for those of you.
Yeah, his giant fingers are struggling to
clumsy hand.
He needs my little delicate lady fingers, really, but you know, he refuses to be helped.
Yeah, I'm not helping it. It's like a
Very compelling. This live unboxing.
Oh, it is.
Come on, what is it?
It's live unboxing. It's a solar powered pump. It's a solar powered fountain.
It's the brushless motor solar fountain, 7 volts, 1.2
watts. This is good. That means we can put the tadpoles directly in the pond.
Yeah, that's it.
We've liberated with the children some tadpoles from the pond that was drying up, and we've got buckets of them in the garden. So I've now had to buy and install a pond in the garden to put them in.
Wow.
And I bought a tiny solar powered pump to keep the water going.
So you have to circulate the water for the tadpoles, do you? Otherwise they
will
die.
Yeah, otherwise they'll all die. Well, they'll all die anyway because the cats just regard them as sort of, you know, a big bucket of food.
Like caviar for cats, isn't it?
Living, they really are. They're very excited by it.
We've got a big pond near us with loads of tadpoles in as well. I mean, do you want me to bike you some over as well?
No,
with the
pads? We've got more than we need.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad you've now got a solar-powered pump for your back garden. That is great news.
It's very exciting.
What a revelation. And this is the kind of A-grade content that we have here.
This is the kind of stuff people want to hear.
Yeah, they love it. They absolutely love it. Hey, Dave, do you know what's quite upsetting, though? Do you know what happened? Well, my kids are addicted to The Simpsons now, thanks to Disney Plus, which we spent the first 5 weeks of this podcast advertising. And to no avail. Got
to no sponsorship brand deals, no? Nothing.
But he's now addicted to The Simpsons. There was an episode of The Simpsons this morning where Homer Simpson, you've probably seen it, starts a chat show and he's so bad at it and it's so mundane and they don't talk about really anything, and then it becomes a massive, massive success and he gets really famous overnight because of the aimlessness of the chat banter. And I thought, oh my god. So with Cabin Fever, The Simpsons beat us to it to the tune of about 15 years.
Yeah, there's only one tiny difference in his experience and our experience.
Well, we're on the way, mate. We're on the way. Yeah.
Well, we should push you over the edge with the kind of reach that we have, guys.
Tadpoles and live mail. Yes, yeah, please.
Live mail.
Underpant boiling, fountain unboxing. That's what the kids want. They want solar powered fountain unboxing.
Based on this experience, you two could definitely create some sort of sound effects album, because everything that happened then sounded like it was sort of a stock footage sound effect, like your door opening, the rustling of the parcel, all sounded like...
Mrs. Poulter, said the postman, you know, tipping his hat to her.
And then she slapped him soundly around the face. I'm actually doing it. I've got a bucket of yoghurt, so I can stick a hand in that and pretend to be birthing a sheep.
We'll do that at the end. Maybe that's what we can use for some sound effects for the quiz. Because, right, so guys, we you should explain really why you're here. You're not just here to tell us about unboxing and ponds, as interesting as that is. You've got a new podcast. It's out with Greg Begal. It's called Plenty Questions. And people will have plenty of questions now. Great link, Tom. God, why? What is it, please? Let's talk about it.
Well, it's a quiz podcast.
Thank you.
I'd like to say it's a quiz podcast with a difference, and it sort of is. I'm going to take ownership of this. I came up with the idea, not her, but no. I do like quizzes, and I like general knowledge questions and trivia. I personally can't stand the admin and the jollity that goes along with pub quizzes, or having to sit around a table with people who don't want to talk to and queue up five deep at the bar.
Oh God, he's the worst person to go to a pub quiz with ever.
Just get on with it and ask the questions. My favourite.
He's actively turned down. We were at the pub quiz down the road the first time we went to it. A really nice old man.
He wasn't. He was a cheat.
Came to try and join our team.
He wasn't a nice old man. He was a sinister old man, and he had loads of answers written down. He said, "Oh, I always bring some answer sheets." We had loads of answers written on small bits of paper
for this day, which is fair enough because he'd researched what had happened.
He'd researched because they always have a round of on this day, and he'd researched everything that happened on this day.
Not Googled, fair.
Written
not
all on a sheet of paper and brought it with him. I don't think he's a nice old man.
He's an old man. He lives on his own. And
yeah, and
anyway,
there's a reason
deserves
for that.
It.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he remains unmarried and friendless, I tell you.
And Justin said, no, you can't join our team. And I nearly
But also, it wasn't
died.
Our wedding anniversary. We were going out to have a night out together. And I didn't want an old man getting in the way. You know, you'd end up bringing him home and selling him knickers or something. Just bought everything.
So hang on, was it just the two of you? And you said, no, it's, we're
yeah.
just...
Yeah, well...
Oh my God, Justin, that's brutal. You're not really winning the audience over early doors for this.
Anyway, so this is my point. If you'd have met him, you'd have been on my side. It's awful, right. Awful, terrible.
So Justin. Oh dear.
Question number one: what is your husband's name?
I despise fun. I just like the administration. I like the bit at the end of the Mastermind General Knowledge round where they just, you know, fire questions at someone in a chair and everyone at home shouts along, I got that, or, you know, that kind of bit.
Yes. Cut
and
to
I think
the
we
chase.
We can all agree. Exactly. I think we can all agree that is the best and most valuable part of any quiz. So that's what Plenty Questions is. It is 20 general knowledge questions, one off the other, with 5 seconds gap in between. Obviously, you can pause it and take as long as you want if you're that kind of person. But the thing is, you just shout your answers out and see how many you get. And it's just what you can remember quickly off the top of your head.
And there's no one. So, like a couple of times, Justin, I have, and this is probably your worst nightmare, I've hosted quizzes with the remit to do bits of stand up in between.
Ooh.
And they are the by far the worst gigs of my life. And I have to every time, like Lucy, you must have had this as well as a hugely successful stand-up, when people say, "Oh, can you come and host our quiz and do bits of comedy patter?" And you're like, "No, people don't want that, do they?"
People absolutely don't want
people get angry about quizzing.
Yes,
and I think you need to sort of just get on with it.
Yeah,
that's my theory. Yeah. I don't understand it. If you're in a pub, they've got to sell. But I did a Zoom quiz with some friends the other night, and that went on way too long. It's about 3 hours.
Yeah, we had a similar problem the other day. Dom Jolly was complaining about his friend's Zoom quiz. Do you think Dom Jolly, he was actually announcing on Cabin Fever that he's dropping out of his friend's Zoom quiz?
Yeah, they had to quit it, didn't they? Because of, I think because of that, all the jollity was too much for them.
The jollity. The Dom jollity.
The Dom jollity.
But also, everyone has to turn their sort of microphones and things off, otherwise it gets too confusing. So you are sort of sitting in silence listening to one person.
Yeah.
Reading questions and staring at the faces of sort of 20 other people. All of you.
Yeah, there's no real point in anybody actually being on the Zoom call, is there? You could just watch a stream.
No, you just do it on a conference call, or you could just email each other the questions and write them down and email them back.
Listen to a podcast of a quiz. That's all you need. You've stripped it right down.
Or exactly. This is what we've done. People don't realise they need these services until they're provided by people like me. I'm clearly a super forecaster.
Well, also, you could use... I mean, I should say, just to put the other side of Zoom quizzing, I have a lovely Thursday night Zoom quiz with friends where we have got a lovely rhythm where you're muted during the questions, but then we have a bit of a chat in between and everyone go, you know, and there's a point where you can go to the loo and then we all sort of WhatsApp each other. It's lovely. It's a delightful.
So that does work.
Social experience. Well, I think it might depend on the type of person and we also are
blind.
Yeah, so you get rid of Justin for that, presumably.
Yeah, I don't get involved in that. I do useful things around. I put up shelves and things.
But you could use this podcast, Plenty Questions, as a source for your Zoom quiz.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you need, if you're getting sick of setting questions, then just listen to this and take the ones you like.
Yeah.
Are you guys setting all the questions yourselves on Plenty Questions, or is it like?
Yes, we are. We are currently, and we've got a few, obviously a variety of episodes backed up, but we might run out of questions soon.
Do you want some trivia, Dave? What trivia have we picked up whilst we've been doing this podcast that we can give the guys to use as questions?
There's nearly 2,500 episodes of The Bill. That's what we've learned.
Well, if you tell us all this, then yeah, people hear this and, you know, then...
Well, you know, it's a little bonus, it's a little advantage, isn't it? A little Easter egg.
When dogs turn before they excrete.
Oh, this is amazing.
You know, when you watch a dog, you sort of does a little spin. Yeah. It's because dogs are mildly susceptible to the magnetic field of the Earth, and they're looking for magnetic north.
Really? So they can always poo facing north?
Yep. That's what they try and do. They don't always succeed, and I've been taking my compass out with my dog every day since I learned that fact.
Is that true? Because I'm not entirely sure. I thought it was just because they were trampling the trying to dig around.
Yes, no, well, that's what I thought, but I have read now three separate studies where this doesn't appear to be absolute bullshit science.
What about cats? I mean, it's cats do it slightly.
They've got lots of poo rituals and strange behaviour that goes on. But yeah, I'm wondering whether we should all try and see if we feel better pooping in different directions, see if we can...
Well, how are you going to do that? The toilet only faces one way.
Well, I know.
You just straddle it the wrong way around, which is not advisable.
Side saddle on the toilet.
Yeah, well, at the moment, everyone is using one toilet, really, aren't they?
Are we?
And it would be a good sort of experiment because normally you might use four or five different toilets in a day.
All the toilets in our house face the same way because the soil pipe on the front. This was explained to me by one of the builders at great length.
Oh, yeah.
And we tried to move a toilet. So, yeah, I don't think we'll
be able
to...
Oh, you can't move the direction of a toilet?
Can't move the direction of a toilet. You can't just put them in anywhere. They have to be going directly into... They're not allowed to move certain distance from the main soil.
You can't have too many kinks in the pipe, otherwise
there
might be a blockage.
No, you can't. Yeah, exactly.
So you can't feng shui your...
Well, maybe they're all already installed north then. Maybe we've all been pooping north just without realising it. And the building trade's been doing that for years.
Yeah, I think ours face east. Anyway,
anyone want to finish that punchline? No.
We'll definitely use all of that as a quiz question. Well, in fact, we do have a brain teaser at the end of every episode of Plenty Questions, which is freely available on every podcasting platform.
Okay.
In which we sort of just ask a slightly longer, more convoluted question, which you get the answer to on the next episode. Just, you know, to really hook people in.
And some of them are ridiculous, and
some of them are, you know, I mean, they're all probably Googleable if you're the kind of person that cheats.
Yeah, that would be pretty joyless, though, to sit there and get asked a question and then just Google it on a podcast. Yeah. But maybe each to their own. Maybe that's what they enjoy doing. Have you got some questions with you now? Because Dave and I are pretty, Dave, fair to say, awful at general knowledge, but we're more than happy to play along. Oh, really bad.
I did write some down. I haven't even shown the lady wife what these ones are. So
she lovely. Can join, I can she join, can join in. In.
Have
lovely.
A seat. Have a seat. Rest yourself there on my trunk-like thighs.
Oh, my God.
That's it. I barely even know anything. Honestly, they're like, you know, my veins stand out like whipcords after I've done joyworks. The deep slabs of muscle in my upper legs.
It's like sitting on a fallen tree.
Okay.
Yeah. with a
sleeping mouse next door. Right, okay.
Question number one. What is the longest river in the UK?
Oh.
I know this one.
I think I know
this one. Do you? Is it the Seven?
I'm going to say the Seven as well.
I'll have to hurry.
Yeah. It's seven. The Seven. It's
the Seven. Who won the Great British Bake Off in 2019?
Nadia.
No, 2019? No, she's like 2015, mate. Don't know. A person.
Yeah, he was lovely. He was really... Yeah.
David Atherton.
Yeah, not a clue.
Who painted The Singing Butler?
I know that one. That's Jack Vettriano.
Vettriano. Yeah, I'm going to say Jack Vettriano.
It's that one where they're on the beach, isn't it?
That's my answer.
You've got 5 seconds for this one. How many minutes?
Hang on, was that right? Was Jack Vettriano right?
Correct. How many minutes after 9:15 is 10:45?
An hour. 90.
Correct.
Oh, I love this.
Prince Buster is commonly associated with which style of music?
Ska.
Yeah. You can. Whose autobiography was called Blessed?
Brian Blessed.
No, it wasn't. Ooh. No, it wasn't Brian Blessed.
That's a very good answer.
Otherwise, it would be Blessed.
Yes. Shit.
It does rhyme. And I can give you another clue.
Hang on.
David Guest.
George Best.
Correct, George Best.
Yes!
Yes! Fred West. Was it Fred West?
And your final question. What do Americans call a courgette?
Ooh, a sidewalk.
Zucchini.
A sidewalk is correct. No, they call it a pavement and an elevator and a mailbox. But those are the kinds of questions we ask. I mean, those are made slightly easier because I knew we were coming on this.
Well, also, we are on a journey. We are on a journey as question setters with this podcast because I feel, you know, I host a... I host another podcast about quizzing.
She does indeed, which we should mention, of course.
Which I don't think buzzers. Justin was aware of until we started doing this.
So but,
and we talk to a lot of, you know, and it's an art. Good question setting is an absolute art.
Yes.
And we are learning that. And we've already had at
already
least
had
one
some complaint
because we're not professional question setters.
Why? What was the complaint about? That too hard?
No, it was a complaint about one of the years, not about the answer. He got the answer, but he said that one of the years in the question was wrong, which it may have been. But I felt like saying you got the answer right, so you know what you're moaning about.
I every time I've hosted a quiz, and I've hosted loads of quizzes because you know in that way that if you're a gobshite, you always get asked to do like a school quiz or whatever. And every single one, there's been a moment when people have really pissed me off. Every time. There's been an argument, and it's there's two things that go wrong. Number one is people get too pushy. The other problem is that people set questions that have ambiguous answers. So,
yes.
So for example, someone said for a tie break, what is the nearest cafe to the school, right? And all the parents said it was, I think they said it was Blighty, right, which is where all the middle class parents from our blooming school go and have their coffees after drop off. But there is a Turkish cafe right next door that none of that crowd go to, right? Yeah. And the ructions that were caused by that, because
I can imagine. I'm furious.
Yes. Well, I mean, is it really a cafe if you can't get sourdough?
Exactly. What the argument happened. Well, they don't do flat whites, they just do these Turkish coffees. It's still a fucking cafe. It was outrageous. But there's always a row.
I just take your children out of that school. There's no one there anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, my kids don't go there. I just hang out. Yeah.
Well, this is why I'm fairly strict. Well, most of the questions, hopefully, on Plenty of Questions are simply ones there is one answer to. They have to shout out.
Well, you say that. But you see, with the first episode, there is one which is, what is Prince William's second name?
Yeah, and someone has said, well, you mean his surname? Clearly not. If we wanted his surname, I'd have said, what's his surname?
Well, I think the onus is on us as question setters to eliminate ambiguity, whereas Justin really feels that whatever he says is right.
Absolutely right, which I think is the only way to play it. The quizmaster's decision is completely final.
But you're going to get, the nature of quizzes, you're going to get loads of people complaining, but that's part of the fun. And I think you need to be Lucy, good cop, Justin, bad cop. In fact, no, both bad cops. Just tell people to go fuck themselves. Because audiences love that. That's why we've built up an audience on this. Hey, listeners, go fuck yourselves. They love it. They'll be back.
Just hate it. They hate it. Yeah. Sort of, you know.
What is Prince William's second name?
Good question.
I'm not telling you because it might. I'm not sure if it's even in an episode that's been out yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
I don't think it was in yesterday.
So, how frequent are these episodes, please?
There's one a day, Monday to Friday. They only last 7 minutes, so they're easily digestible on a walk or a run or just, you know. If you're sitting facing north on your toilet, you could put it on.
If you're unboxing a pump, say, you could just unbox your pump
while you do some pump unboxing. Oh. Or if you're just packaging up your underpants to send off to the good people of the United Kingdom. It's designed to sort of be done on the move or done or wherever. You can, if you want, write the answers down and pause it and all try and do it as a huge family, or perhaps you could get together as a community and play it. I don't know.
Community.
Maybe
oh, God.
Do the hokey cokey.
Yeah. Personally, I just like shouting answers out at the television. That's kind of my thing.
I would suggest, by the way, that we don't talk about this enough, Dave. With your smart device, it's very easy to say to your Siri or your Alexa, play Cabin Fever or play Plenty Questions. And so, for example, I often play a podcast when I come down at about 7:30 when the kids are in bed, 7:45, let's be honest, about 9 p.m. And I have like a 20-minute window where Beth and I sort of get ready before we watch telly. And I'll often stick a bit of Radio 4, a bit of podcastage on, and I just shout at my smart device. So if you tell your smart device, it will do it. It will work. If you say, play the podcast, Plenty Questions.
If you shout, we'll have to make sure that none of the answers have anything sounding even remotely like the word Alexa in them, otherwise it'll all go.
Oh, you should do an Alexa special. That'd be hilarious. Yeah. Just really.
Every answer is some variation or rhyme on the word Alexa.
Also, there's a danger that people will get any questions as well from Radio 4 if they do.
That's true.
No one needs more Chris Mason in their life. So much Chris Mason.
Tom, I'm interested in your 20-minute window that you need to get ready to watch television. What's that of?
Well, obviously, what we're doing is we're just clipping our pubes. We're getting oiled up and ready. Getting the cameras set up. That is the turnaround time. That is the best bit of the day, where it's the Christmas Eve of the day, where you've got rid of the awful bit, i.e., goodnight kids, and you've got this moment where you've still got the episode of Killing Eve to look forward to, and you know you're getting wine ready, you're cleaning up the kitchen, you're doing the laundry. Like there's an intense burst of domesticity in that 20-minute window, which is the best bit of the day. Justin and Lucy, can you tell us please about your lockdown? Because you've got about 98 kids, haven't you? How's that going?
That's right. We've got we've had three during lockdown, so we're up to 101 children. So it's busy, but we've been able to eat a few just to bring the numbers down.
Great.
We don't. We've only got two, which I think is not an unreasonable number.
Oh, no, yeah.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
What have we been doing?
And the tadpoles. And the tadpoles.
Oh, the tadpoles and the cats, yeah.
Yeah, thousands
of them,
isn't it? So that's
knocking the numbers up a bit. But yeah, no, it's mostly been Joe Wicks and...
Quite a lot of gardening for me. I've done a lot in the garden.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is going to look like the Palace of Versailles, but with a lot more cat shit. That's my dream.
Hopefully less tourists. Do you feel that this process of lockdown has fast-forwarded your lives into your mid-60s?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've always been sort of prepared for retirement, really, for some time now.
Yeah, the life of an hour worker.
I spent a lot of time at home pottering around the garden thinking, well, I may never work again.
Yeah.
So actually being forced into that doesn't really make much difference to me.
Yeah, that's the thing. All it's really done is taken the pressure off when we don't work, which is an absolute dream.
Yeah, it's so true. Lucy, have you done many online stand-up gigs, please? How are they? Do you find them weird? Are they all right?
Have not done any at all.
Oh, well swerved.
Well, I don't even like stand up on television, really. I've never been happy with any stand up I've done on television. And so it's like, I don't know, yeah, it absolutely terrifies me. So yeah. I haven't done it.
Shouting into a void, and there's no point. Well,
I think some of it works. You know, we've done bits of, we did a video of a song for the Isolation Song Contest.
It was amazing.
Was
I loved it.
Fun.
I loved it very much. It was the first one up, wasn't it?
No. Rob Deering was the first one.
Oh, Rob Deering was the first one. Right. I watched Rob Deering. Then you guys were like second or something. Anyway,
you were second. Early
doors. Mm-hmm. Tom was probably still oiling himself up.
Yeah. That's exactly. Exactly. It was mid ball clip that I saw that. So
I've done a few radio things. I've done the news quiz. I'm doing that again this week, which is. Very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. I'm doing The Unbelievable Truth for Radio 4 as well, which would be, it's just all, you know, it's finding the way to do it, but it does all still feel incredibly awkward and weird.
It is strange, isn't it? It's strange. We're never going to quite get used to it. All right. So, Justin and Lucy, thank you very much for coming on Cabin Fever. Plenty questions. I'm a bit annoyed, Dave, by the way. Plenty questions out now. I didn't get to use my sound effects because I had right and wrong sound effects ready to go. Justin just jammed on through, which is probably... This shows you...
I do apologise.
Well, no, but it shows you the ethos of Plenty Questions. You no time for any sound effects. You're just asking questions. It's good.
Get on with it, yeah.
But
I think it's important.
Yeah, I had that for right.
What was that going to be?
That was right, yeah. And then I made this...
Yeah, well, that was my point, Justin.
I made this one for wrong.
What's the wrong one?
That's wrong, yeah.
Oh, I like wrong more.
Yeah, I like wrong more. Yeah, I'm quite glad we didn't use it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Oh, that was perfect. Thank you, team. That was brilliant.
That was fun. Thank you for having us.
Lovely to speak to you.
Yeah, always nice to speak to you guys. And I really hope this goes well. It's a really, really neat, simple, excellent idea. So, you know.
Yeah, well, hopefully. We might have made a rod for our own backs by having to record one of them a day, but still.
Well, it's something
to
do. Welcome
with
isn't
it? Exactly what we're doing with this
it's
podcast.
It's something to do, isn't
well,
it?
Well, exactly. Yeah. You know, keeps it fills the hours, but it you does. Slightly resent it after a while.
Yeah, exactly that.
Much like children.
Well, indeed. Right, I'll go and see ours now.
Yes.
Love.
Thanks.
Love. Bye. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Bye.
What? Put this pumping.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.